And I believe whatever God has said, he still says and always will say. All right? So with all of that being said, let's look at verse 10. And he said in chapter 1 and verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then he talks of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, of which we're thankful for. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Tonight I want to take the verse 11 and 12 mostly and just encourage your heart in the things that were, the things that are, they're all the same. Nothing has changed. The message that the prophets preached is the message that we preach today. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is the Savior. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to take some of these thoughts and maybe encourage you and strengthen your walk with the Lord and strengthen your desire for God. I read an old commentary, an old preacher. I don't know if it's an old commentary, but it's an old preacher. It's the pulpit commentary. Maybe it wasn't the pulpit commentary. I think it was. But anyway, an old preacher from days of many years ago wrote this. He said, "Would to God that God's people searched the scriptures, what and what manner of time, as they did of old time." He said, there's an apathy in the church today, and that was many years ago, of diligent search of the scriptures. The Bereans searched the scriptures, the Bible says. And there ought to be a searching, there ought to be a desire in each of us to know more about God. And the only way you know more about the Lord is from the scriptures. And Brother Nathan and me has been reading through the New Testament. I don't know if we're in a competition or not, because that's not right. But we're working together to encourage one another. And so the other day I finished the New Testament for I forgot how many times. And he was telling me where he's at in the Old Testament and finishing it and such like things. And I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy feasting upon the things that God has in the Bible. I wish I could remember the Bible the way I remember such foolishness. I can remember things that were... Listen, I woke up from my nap today thinking about something that happened 10 or 12 years ago. And I'm thinking, I wasn't even thinking about that. How did I wake up thinking about it? Amen? And such like things. I wish I could remember the scriptures the way that I remember some of the things of this world. But I want you to know I do try my best to search the scriptures. I've committed myself to certain things of reading the Bible and trying to glean from the Bible the truths of God's Word. I try to fill my mind with the Scriptures. I try to meditate on the Scriptures, and I try to think upon them, just not for Sunday's message, but for daily practice of life and application of life. The Bible says, "Thy Word." Come on, get up here. I read it. It works better that way. Oh, there it is, I know. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I pray this many times. God, help me to be wise in the application of the Scripture. Help it, Lord, to be there when it needs to be there. I was telling my Sunday school class today about a, about an incident that happened over at the hospital this week, and this crabby cleaning lady was, she seemed to be crabby. She may watch this, so she really wasn't crabby. Don't come over here and whoop me or anything, but she seemed to be having a crabby day. No telling what had happened, and I tried to make small talk with her, and it didn't work out very well, so at the end of the day, when she got done cleaning, I said, "Hey, I pastor over here, such city church," and I said, "Is there anything I can pray with you about?" And she stopped dead in her tracks with her broom or her mop, whatever it was in her hand, hands on like this. She goes, "I'll think about it," and left. And we stayed there a little bit. And later on, when we was down eating lunch, she came up beside me, and she said, just walked up to me and nudged my shoulder. I stand there getting ready to sit down, and she nudged my shoulder. She nudged this shoulder, and this one. And she said, "I gave your mom a list." And I said, "Oh, okay, praise the Lord." I pray up, put my tray down, pat her on the shoulder, and I got a track out, wrote my number down, my cell number, and I said, "Hey, if I can ever pray with you about anything, if I can ever help you with anything, just let me know." And you know, I tried to use the Bible. I tried to think of Scripture real quickly to apply to her life. And you know, it's amazing whenever you try to use the Bible, that God always has the Bible there if you'll fill your mind with it. And so searching the Scriptures, they would search, these Old Testament men searched the Scriptures. They searched what time and how it was going to happen. They weren't skeptical of it. They were inquisitive of how God was going to do what God said God was going to do. And by the way, when He comes again, we ought to be looking for Him to come. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need some searching of the Scriptures today. And so when I stand here and preach, and we have other men stand here and preach, it's not just to fill a time slot, but hopefully we've spent some time with God, and hopefully we've searched the Bible, and we know what we believe and why we believe it, and support it from the Scriptures. We support it from the historical teaching of the Bible, from the doctrinal teaching of the Bible, from the historical teaching of the local New Testament church down through the generations of time. Jesus Christ Himself being that chief and head cornerstone, and built upon the apostles and the prophets of that day, and stand here and proclaim to you, "Thus saith the Lord." But you know what? While I'm preaching, you ought to be attentive in case I slip something in that ain't true. Yeah, in case I try to see if you're paying attention. I don't ever do that, but I just in case. Just never know. Now, look at verse number 11. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them." Then look in verse number 12 down towards the end, talking about them that preached the gospel unto them with the Holy Ghost. Now, the same Spirit of God that revealed to these, let's just say, Old Testament prophets, these Old Testament prophets revealed to them the coming of the Lord, the sufferings of the Lord, and the resurrection of the Lord, and the kingdom of the Lord, is the same Holy Spirit that was in these men preaching that Jesus had come, had fulfilled, and He was the Savior, He was the hope of man, and that He is coming again. The same one. And so it wasn't like, you think about the Bible, and what is the Bible like? Almost 40 authors of the Bible, and 1,500 years span of time that the Bible was written, or somewhere around in there. And the same Holy Spirit that inspired Moses in the first 5 books of the Bible is the same Holy Spirit that got way over here on the Isle of Patmos and sealed up the sum of all that God ever wanted to say to us in the canon of Scripture, in the 66 books of the Bible, in John's revelation, and put a period and said, "Amen. Finished. Done. And all that we ever need to know, and all that we'll ever know about God, is contained in the Bible." And the Holy Spirit of God revealed or inspired these men, breathed onto the Old Testament prophets the things concerning the coming of Christ and his sufferings and what should happen after, the glory that should come after, is the same Holy Spirit that lives in me and lives in you and opens to us the scriptures that we might know them. Now the Lord said that day of coming of the Lord ought not to overcome us as a thief in the night. And we ought to be able to look around. I was telling Brother Jack the other day that the Bible there in the book of Acts says we're not to be heaven gazers. We're to be earthly minded soul winners. Acts chapter 1, you go back there and read it. We ought not to be sitting up here thinking Jesus ought to be coming today. No, we ought to be busy trying to make sure people are ready for Jesus when he does come. Now, we need to be looking, but we need to be working. Work, work, work. OSM said, Lockridge said last night, he said, work for the day comes or the night comes when no man can work. And there is a time whenever there's an opportunity to work, but then that door is closed. And so the Bible says they were searching. And they weren't doing this of their own, but the Holy Ghost of God was in them and speaking to them and revealing to them all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so whenever I read this book of 1 Peter, the Lord says, now here's what I was saying at that time. Whenever our good friend that was here the other day, Brother J.C. House, when he reads it, this is what the Holy Spirit says. This is what I was saying to Peter. He's the author. He knows what he was saying. I like the little book here. I know what I'm saying. I wrote it. I can tell you everything I meant to say in there. Now you say, well, I think you meant this. No, here's what I meant. I wrote the book. Amen. I can tell you everything and why I wrote it. I wrote because Peggy told me to. Charlie told me some stories, so I hurry up and feared her. So I wrote it. Amen. Who amen that, Van? Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Roger, praise the Lord. Oh, Van's not here saying amen. She's too close to her. So I'm the author. I know what I said. Now, the lady down in Branson, she did all the nice pictures and such like things. And we printed them. But I wrote the book. I know what it said. You want to know what it said? Come ask me. Don't ask for an interpretation of it. What it said is what it said. See, ladies and gentlemen, the interpreter or the author of the Bible is still with us. I was reading about church history. And one of the first areas of attack by the enemy upon the early church was on the doctrine of the apostles. When the apostles died, some of the history that I've read, the very first thing is they began to question, well, did they really mean this? Well, the thing about it was, it wasn't the apostles' book. It's God's book. And so the same Spirit of God that spoke to them is the same Spirit of God that speaks to us. Right. Now, he talked before of the sufferings of Christ. But we talk about the gospel is the past sufferings of Christ. See, the Old Testament group, they looked forward to the cross. Now that Jesus has, and that's the climax of everything. That's the center of everything. You and I, we look back at the cross.
Right.
They were saying what was going to happen. We tell what did happen.
Right.
Hallelujah, ladies and gentlemen. We have a Savior that has come and has fulfilled all that God said.
That's right.
In case you want to know, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll just take a quick survey of some of the things that Jesus said, or that the Bible said about Jesus. Now, we can't go through all of them tonight, or we'd be here till a long time. But we'll go through a few just to remind us that everything that God said about him is right here. And Jesus did. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, he said. So this book stands. And what he said is or did happen, and what he said after that's going to happen is going to happen. Matthew 26 and verse 54. Let me find it. I need to get there too. Matthew 26 verse 54. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief with the swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hands on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." He said, what's going to happen right here is going to fulfill everything that they said about me. Chapter 27 and verse number 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom the children of Israel did value." Jeremiah prophesied of that long before Jesus showed up.
Amen.
In verse number 35. Chapter 27, verse number 35. "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lot.'" What prophet said that? David? Close. Well, what book was it in? There's what I wanted. There you go. There you go, brother. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. The prophets. You say, well, how do we know? We're getting there. Mark chapter 14. Drew, did your dad help you? Did he give you the answer? Oh, brother. That's all right, Drew. We don't believe you. Chapter 14 of Mark and verse number 49. And again, some of these will be repetition, but I just want you to see them. Mark chapter 14. We're talking about what was fulfilled concerning the sufferings of Christ and then the gospel. The Bible said, verse 49, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must need fulfilled." Look at verse number, chapter 15, verse number 28. No, I don't think that one was it. I'm going to read it anyway because it's a good one. "And they passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads, and said, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days.'" Somewhere there's something in one of these verses here about the temple being, or something about something being fulfilled. Might be in verse 18, might, who knows. Just read chapter 15, you'll find it. Amen? Where am I at? I don't know where I'm at. Oh yeah, get the right verse, preacher. "And the scripture was fulfilled which said he was numbered with the transgressors." You knucklehead. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Boy, it's a good thing we ain't perfect, amen. I'd have messed it up for all of us. Luke 24 and verse number 44. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses," first five books, "and in the prophets," that would really be from Isaiah on through the end, but all the prophets that came and prophesied of Jesus, "and in the Psalms concerning me," as Drew told us in Psalm, the book of Psalms. See, the whole Bible, that's how the Bible was divided. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And every one, every portion, division, ever how you want to say it, testified of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 17. See, everybody had the same thought in the Old Testament. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But everybody gave a different view of what would take place.
Right.
The Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah, "Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept."
Yes.
God didn't reveal it all at once, but he began to I got a little illustration in my mind. And if you take that hourglass and you hold that hourglass up, and on this end is the beginning of creation, that big wide end of the hourglass was the entire world. But as you move closer, there's different points of time in which God narrowed down what he was doing. And that point where the sand goes from this hourglass to this hourglass is the cross. You get over to chapter 12 in Genesis, and God narrows it down from the world to one man, Abraham. And you go on down the hourglass, and you get down just a little bit further, and you come to David, whom the Son of God would come through. And you get down, there he is born, as we read this morning in the book of Luke. And there he dies. And then all of a sudden you go on the other side of the hourglass, and it's real small, and it opens up. And it's to the Jews, Jerusalem, just to a small group of 12 men. And then it gets a little bit bigger to 120 men. And then it gets a little bit bigger to 3,000 and 5,000. And all of a sudden the worldview of the gospel is in sight. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus came, he came to fulfill everything that God said about him. Chapter 17. Why don't I get over there? Chapter 17 and verse number 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Interesting, isn't it? Chapter 18 and verse number 9. Chapter 18, verse number 9. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. Even Jesus' words were fulfilled. Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Verse 32. The Bible says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Chapter 19 and verse number 36. And again, these aren't all of them. I just picked some of these out and just tried to remind us that the scriptures are fulfilled. Verse 36, and these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. That didn't happen by accident. The Romans were cruel in their punishment of evildoers. Of criminals, as Jesus was condemned criminal, not an evildoer, but a criminal, sentenced to die. They were cruel. And the more pain they inflicted was to ensure that you never did that again at death, but to let everybody else know if you do it, you'll go through the same thing. I think maybe they got that out of Ecclesiastes, maybe. I'm not sure. It sure was a deterrent to some evil. The scripture. Now go back here in 1 Peter for just a minute. They were searching the scripture of what manner of time it was, and they were led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And they talked about the suffering and the glory. The suffering and the glory. Jesus suffering on the cross and the glory. Not just his suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, it thank God that Jesus died. But thank God that he arose. I mean, there's a glory. I mean, my goodness sakes, if he just died, that would have been awesome. That would have been amazing. But he rose again, giving us the promise of new life. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day shall come again. And take us to be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, they talked of the sufferings. Man, they described it. You read over in Isaiah chapter 53, the sufferings of Christ. It's amazing. And the Bible talks about Christ and what he went through and those things. And everything that it said that would happen, happened. But also talks about the glories. Amen? Talks about the resurrection. Talks about his kingdom. Talks about the new world. The new heaven. I think it's Daniel who talks about the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Yeah. I mean, thank God today that they talked about his suffering. But thank God they talked about the glories that should follow. What the Bible say over in Hebrews? that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? Well, it wasn't the cross. The cross was endured. But he saw beyond the cross me, a sinner. You, a sinner that would be saved. A world that needed a Savior. That's glory. Oh, that will be glory for me. Man, what a time that's going to be whenever we look back on the sufferings of the Savior. But we also anticipate the glories. I think Paul may have said something along those lines over in Philippians when he said, it's not only given to you to suffer, but also to reign. You ever read that? It's not only on your behalf to suffer for Christ, but you get to reign with Christ. Man, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, not only are we a Christian here, but when we get there, there's no telling. You know what? Turn in your Bibles. You're so close right there to 1 John chapter 3. Man, I tell you what, I pray over this verse a lot. Verse 3, I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 3, but I pray over verse 3 an awful lot for myself. He said, beloved, well, I like that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know how this is going to be. You know, I try to envision that new body. I just can't get it. I know it's this body, resurrected, changed, but I don't get it. Well, I'll tell you, if you get it, take off and run through that wall and show me how you get it. Well, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen. No, I still don't get it. I believe it. I just don't get it. My beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know something, praise God. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Huddled up in that little room and in through with them doors locked, and somebody else shows up. Now don't tell me you wouldn't have been a little scared either. Amen. We often get on them disciples. They saw him walking on the water thinking it was a ghost, a spirit. Yeah, I would have been too. They things you see in the nighttime, you don't see any other time. Amen. I'm like that little boy. You help pick him up, I'll put him down. I'm getting with it. Amen. I don't know. I try to envision what Christ looks like, but I can't do it. I just can't get it. But I know this. I said, I know this. That when he comes and gets me, I'll be like him, for I'll see him as he is. Woo! Glory to God. Ain't that exciting? I'm going to hurry up and slim down, for as you'll know me as I'm known. Amen. I won't be known skinny and heaven. Don't want somebody to come up to him and say, you ain't changed a bit. Brother Cyrus gave me one of them workout benches. I don't know what, you know, Chuck Norris. I've had it for a week. It ain't helped me a bit. I ain't used it, but it ain't helped me either. He said, we're going to see him as he is. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we have the privilege to suffer for Christ and be mocked and hopefully by the grace of God not go through some of the sufferings our forefathers have gone through, but there is a glory coming. Hallelujah. Heaven is in sight. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. They searched. Notice back in 1 Peter, the Bible says they searched. But notice in verse 12, it was revealed. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I believe one of the reasons why most of us in this room don't know more about God is because we ain't searching. But I believe if we search, I believe God would reveal. The Bible is not a closed book concealed. God did not write it to keep us in suspense. God wrote it to give us insight into him and into us. You say, well, preacher, I just don't get what God's wanting me. I read the Bible and don't get nothing. You get saved and you'll get something. You'll get the Spirit, the author inside of you, and you'll get what God's saying. Yeah. Man, they were searching. Searching. Yes. Searching. Oh, man. Brother House was here and he said, brother, we always talk spiritual things sometime when he's here. He came over to my office on Monday morning and
He said, "Brother Tim, have you ever seen this website to search the scriptures? It's called studylight.org. Good stuff." I could not tell you how many commentators. Lange is on there. Lange. Then whenever L-A-N-G-E. Charles Spurgeon said every Bible student of his day and age studied Lange. I got 6 or 7 of his books, maybe 4 or 5. I haven't got some in my office. I ain't read him yet, but he said he was the premier authority of Scripture back in Spurgeon's day. Wow. Studylight.org. And then he gave me another one. And I looked on it. It's got some interesting thoughts. Not all of them are good. So don't go on there thinking, I have a little disbelief. No, some of them ain't all Baptist. Let me put it that way. It's called Precept Austin. Precept Austin. But man, it's got some great thoughts, great commentators. So I love to study. I'm not a studier, so I have to make myself study so it looks like I like it. Amen? And books behind my desk make me look smart. A whole lot smarter than I am. But I love to read things about the Bible. I love to search the scriptures. And you know, I use that computer to help me because I think of a scripture and I think, man, where's that at? I know. Now, if I'm using this Bible, it's pretty easy because I know where about everything is on which page and which column and where at on the page. But you know, some of it, I just have a hard time remembering. I have some preacher friends, they can just rattle it off and go there and there. I can't do it. All right, I got to think, is it there? Is it there? You know, is it in Isaiah or Psalms or glad thing Drew's here? You know, where is it at? Man, they not only searched, but God revealed. And I can tell you by experience, the more you search, the more God shows you in His book.
Yep.
That's why you need to read your Bible every day. That's why you need to study your Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Let me give you 2 other things, and we're going to get out of here. The question of the prophets is still the question of today. When's it going to happen? Think about it. When's he coming? When's he coming? When's he coming? Hold on there, Brother Matt. He ain't coming yet. Pick your Bible up. Glory to God. I thought maybe the rapture was happening. I saw that hit the ground. Glory to God. We're on our way. Matt's Lord me, so he'd get up first. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Hang on to it, brother. I thought you about this little black preacher. And I'm serious. He went about this tall. He's out there where Brother Brian works. One, we was out there holding revival many years ago, and I think he was Pentecostal, something along those lines. Real nice guy. He's from St. Louis, and I think he comes up here maybe once a month and held services. And he was talking about St. Louis and him, and he sort of reminds me of George Jefferson. So just that's the kind of guy that he was. All right, and he walked like him. Kind of had mannerisms like him. And so we're walking out, and he's talking to me. He wasn't a part of a revival service. He was just there. And so he was telling me, he says, you know, one time when I was walking downtown St. Louis, wherever that was, he said, man, I heard a trumpet. He said, I heard a noise sound like a trumpet. And he said, I thought, the trumpet. And I didn't go. He said, I'm trying to jump up. And there he is, jumping up and down outside the prison, man. I'll tell you, it was hilarious. And I almost had to get a head start. Matt, get a head start on us, amen? And so the prophet says, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? But you know what the apostle said? Matthew 24, verse 3, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. You know what? When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, what are you standing here looking up? Well, they're... Acts chapter number 1, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to establish your kingdom or what's going to happen? He said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. Don't be worried about that. You just get busy doing what I tell you to do.
Amen.
We got a whole lot of people that's more concerned about him coming than what they ought to be doing. Occupy till I come.
Right.
Now, I'm not downplaying the coming of the Lord. Don't think I am. We ought to be looking him for and hastening unto that day of the coming of the Lord. But I'm saying we ought to be busy while we're here. We ought to be laboring while we're here. Praise God. When's Jesus coming? I don't know, but an hour when you think not. Amen. I think he's going to catch a few Christians off guard. Yeah, they wasn't ready for him. It's like them 5 virgins sleeping over there. Here comes a bridegroom. Oh, wait, we got to hurry up and trim our lamps. No, they should have been waiting.
That's right.
Yeah. Might be catching you in the pew off guard thinking, I was going to get saved, but You know what? Hey, I was going to get saved one day, but Jesus came and too late for you. Take your Bibles over to Psalm 68. I don't have anything after this, so it's always a good sign. Psalm 68. Verse number 11, the Lord gave the word. I said the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. From the old to the new to the present day, great was the company of those that published it. Now that's not printing the scripture, that's those proclaiming the scripture. Yeah. Now we have the privilege to print the scripture. We print it in Thai. Well, that's what they say it is. It just looks like a bunch of squiggly lines to me. I couldn't tell you anything that it said except 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 80. That's all I can tell you that it said. I don't know anything. But hopefully, it says what it's supposed to say. If not, Lord, forgive us because we didn't know. But we're going to send it over to Thailand. And there's a whole bunch of Thailandians. I know that's not the way you say it. I just thought we ought to be scriptural. That's going to read it. Some preacher over there is going to preach to them. And somebody's going to witness to them. And they're a part of that company. When you go out and tell others about Jesus, listen, you're part of that company that published it. I won't be part of that company. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Talked about it. Told the others about it. I won't be a part of that company. Amen? I like company at times. But I surely won't be a part of that company. Amen. So tonight, now, what Peter says after that is, since you know that God gave the word and Jesus came, the glories and all these things, he said you ought to be sober-minded, ready to serve him. Amen. You ought to be holy people because of what we know about the Old Testament and the New Testament and such like things. Father, we thank you for the day. Help us, Lord, here tonight to be mindful of the word of God. Lord, this isn't my word. This isn't my church. This belongs to you. This is your book. You wrote it. You inspired men to write it. We have the privilege to preach it. It's not mine to correct. It's not mine to tell what it does and doesn't say. It's simply mine to proclaim. Lord, this little church belongs to you. It was conceived hundreds of years ago, 100 years ago, by a group of people who had a vision to see you put a church here in this area. Just a handful of people, but that loved you and was saved by the grace of God. And Lord, I can only imagine the thrill of those people every time somebody gets saved and they get to heaven. Said we came out of Sweet Springs Baptist Church or some of the influence of that church, and no wonder there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Them old saints of God through the ages that endured the hardships and the difficulties of starting a church here and planting a church here and sacrificing to build a building here and the such like, no wonder there's rejoicing, that their work wasn't in vain. And they rejoice. They talk a little bit about the things of God. We thank you, Lord, today that we have the privilege to be a part of the church and God to be a part of the things that are going on here. And Lord, we surely want to be a part of that company of them Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and the others who proclaimed the word of God that thus saith the Lord concerning the Son of God. We want to be like Paul and Peter and Andrew and the others down through the centuries of time that have said, look unto Jesus and be saved. Father, help us tonight, God, not to be weak in faith, but to be strong knowing what the will of the Lord is. In Jesus we pray. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Rachel's playing the hymn of invitation. Tonight, maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe not. It's fine. But if you need to come tonight, you come.